Okay, so now we have the privilege of reading Bhagavad Gita. And we've been studying from the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And as a highly recommended process, that is, chanting one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, something that anybody in their right spiritual mind can do. And if you make a vow to do it and you do it every day, there's different ways you can do it. Some devotees do a rotation where they go through the whole Bhagavad Gita one chapter at a time. Others concentrate on one particular chapter over and over again, and you can chant it every day and see how long it takes you to memorize the chapter. Certainly when you do that, you'll start to remember certain parts of the verses, and then certain ideas will come, and you'll get really familiar with that kind of with that chapter. And because the words and the instructions in the Bhagavad Gita are non-different from Krishna, this is fulfills the instruction Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, manmana bhavamad bhakto, to engage your mind always in thinking of me. So at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna that anyone who studies the Bhagavad Gita worships me by his intelligence. So we talk about engaging the bodily limbs in devotional service, or you know, the eyes and seeing the deed of the Lord. How do you engage your intelligence in Krishna service? Read Bhagavad Gita and think about it. And while you do that, then the intelligence becomes purified. The discriminating power, that's what the intelligence, it discriminates between one thing and another, and it overrules the mind when the mind chooses the wrong thing. And therefore, it's very helpful because Krishna gives many instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, Hare Krishna, which help us to clearly understand what things will pull us down and what things will actually help us to become elevated. And much of this is in accord with the three modes of material nature and many other aspects of human psychology, which we can learn just from reading the Bhagavad Gita. If we hear that regularly, then the intelligence becomes disciplined and we can actually act in the proper way and then make advancement in devotional service. So, we're on chapter 7. Did you chant your chapter 7 yet already today? You're already on 10? That's what I'm doing too, is 10. All right. Anybody else chant a chapter today yet? You do your chapter? What'd you do? 10? How's everybody on 10?
I do every day the next chapter.
Next chapter. Okay. Anybody else chanting a chapter? You want to join the club? It's called Chad. Chapter a day. It's easy. You know, for you it's easy. Just, you know, pick a chapter. Or, you know, make sure you have your book with you and just start it as a regular practice. Yes? Complete one chapter a day. You'll join? Okay, a new member of Chad. Let's give him a hand there. Any other new members? It only takes 5-10 minutes to chant a chapter. It's the most nectarian thing you can do. I do it when I first wake up in the morning, so I make sure I get it done. I chant my chapter of Gita, first thing. Gita, Bhagavatam, one chapter of each, and then I'm free to move about the cabin. Yes?
I chant chapter one. Yeah. But I chant it over and over again.
You know, nice. Okay, so chapter one. Yeah. Give them the mic.
And in my office also, I'm allowed to play some music, so I have the chapter running the whole day in the background.
Well, that's another good idea. Yeah. We do have the Bhagavad Gita on MP3, so you can put it on your iPod, or you can get the tape. We have the tape of the Bhagavad Gita. Also have recordings of Srila Prabhupada chanting the chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. There's no dearth of sound vibration available through the electronic media, so you can also listen to that. Of course, it doesn't replace chanting a chapter, but it helps also if you hear the chapter, and you can also chant along with it. But learning these chapters is a very important aspect of sadhana. Okay, so we're on chapter 7. We've been studying chapter 7. So Let's. How about if we chant chapter 7? Is that all right? Okay. So chapter 7. We'll chant the Sanskrit all the way through, and then we'll read the English together all the way through. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Sakta Manaparta Yogam Yunjan Madasrayaha Asamsayam Samagramam Yata Gyasasi Tachtrinu Gyanam Teham Savigyanam Idam Vaksham Yasheshataha Yaj Gyatva Nehabuyo Nyaj Gyatavyama Vishishate Manushyanam Sahasreshu Yatati Siddhaye Yatatam Api Siddhanam Kashchin Mam Beti Tatvataha Bhumirapo Nalo Vayu Tamano Bhudir Evacha Ahankara Itiyame Binna Prakritir Ashtada Apareyam Itastanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yeyedam Daryate Jagat Etad Yonini Bhutani Sarvanityu Padaraya Aham Kritsnasya Jagataha Pravava Pralayastata Matak Paratanam Nanyat Kinchidasti Dananjaya Mayi Sarvam Idam Protam Sutre Mani Gana Iva Rasoham Mapsukonteya Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho Pranavaksarva Vedeshu Shabda Ke Purushandrishu Punyo Ganda Prativyam Cha Tejas Chasmi Bibhavasau Jivanam Sarva Bhuteshu Tapas Chasmi Tapasvishu Bijam Mam Sarva Bhutanam Vidhi Partha Sanatanam Budhir Budhimantam Asmi Tejas Tejas Vinamaham Balam Balabhatam Chaham Kamaraga Vivarjitam Dharma Virodo Bhuteshu Kamosmi Paratarshava Ichaiva Satvika Bhava Rajasastamasaschaye Mati Iveti Tanvidhi Natvaham Teshu Te Mai Hibir Gunmayer Bhaver Ebe Sarva Midam Jagat Mohitam Nabijanati Padam Avyayam Vahiesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite namam duskritinumudha prapadyante dharma mayaya aprita jnana asuram bhavam asritaha chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna arto jignasa artarti Jnani cha bharatarshaba Tesham jnani nitya yukta Eka bhaktir vishishyate Priyohi jnani notyartam Ahamsa cha mama priya Udarak sarva evaite Jnani tvat vaiva mematam Astita sahi yuktatma Mameva tamam gatim Bahunam janmanamante yanavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha tamaistaiste hrita jnana prapadyante devata tam tam niyamamastaya prakritya niyatasvaya yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta Shraddhe architam ichati tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidadham yaham sataya shraddhaya yuktas tasya ardhanam ihate labhate cha tata kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan antavattu palam tesham tadbhavatyalpamedasam devan deva yajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi avyaktim vyaktim apanam manyate mama buddhaya parampavam ajananto mamavyayamanutamam naham prakashya sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha mutho yam nabi janati loko mama jamavyayam vidaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu veda na kashyana icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargeyanti param tapa yeshantantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta vajhante mam jardavritaha jada marana mokshaya mama srita yatantiye te brahma tadvadu kritsnam adyatma karma chakilam sari bhutari daivam mam sari yajnam chaye vidu prayana kali pichamam te vidur yukta chetasaha Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Suparisatsu Brahmavidyayam Yoga Shastri Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Gyan Vigyan Yoga Nama Saptamo Dhyayah. That's called a colophon, and it's I should make a printout of those for everybody. The colophon is a word ornament, and at the end of each chapter that you chant, there's the base of the shloka is the same. It says Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahmavidyayam Yoga Shastri Krishna Arjuna Sambade. That is a conversation between, a divine conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. And then it says, then you say the name of and the number of the chapter at the end. It's a way of closing the chapter in a worshipful way. And Prabhupada always chanted those. They're in the small Gitas that we have, the chanting Gitas that are available for those who join Chad and then successfully complete 21 days without missing a day of Chad, then you can get a little Gita like this. And this has all the little verses, all the verses here in a small way, so you can carry this around with you and chant your chapter wherever you go. What is it? The Gita.
No, you have to do about 21 days.
21 days. You have to do, you chant 21 days. It's on the honor system. 21 days. You join Chad, means you make a vow to yourself, to Krishna, that you're going to chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. That means either chant, you can chant all the Sanskrit, or you can do all the English. Either one.
Any place, any time.
As long as it's once in a day. And the 21 days in a row, then you get your little copy here. And these are not available anywhere else in the world because we got the last of them and we had to order them all the way from Belgium to get them over here. It's from Sweden. And we paid a lot to get them over here. Pardon me? Yeah, you can do, but you only get one copy. Okay, so I think we have a new member, enthusiastic. So let me know in 21 days, and we'll bring your copy in. Okay. Anybody else, Mark? Have you done your 21 days? Okay. I'll bring for you, Srinivas Prabhu. Anybody else joining Chad? You're already a member, right? Long-time member? Well, actually, we should... Okay, count from today. All right, so chapter 7, let's read the translations. Altogether, the Supreme Personality of God had said, Now hear, O Sanapritta, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight constitute my separated material energies. Besides these, O mighty-armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. All created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. I am the original fragrance of the earth and am the heat and fire. I am the life of all that lives and I am the penances of all ascetics. O Sanapritta, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent and the prowess of all powerful men. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles, the Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. Know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am, in one sense, everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. O best of the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who always engaged in devotional service is the best, for I am dear to him and he is dear to me. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my devotional service, he is sure to attain me highest and most perfect goal. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. I am in everyone's heart as a supersoul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his face steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires, but in actuality these benefits are bestowed by me alone. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. They do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. O sign of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are free from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation, of the demigods, and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. Starting on text 26, it's on page 358. Vidaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tuvena na kashchana. Veda, no. Aham, I. Samatitani, completely past. Vartamanani, present. Cha, and Arjuna, O Arjuna. Bhavishyani, future. Cha, also, bhutani, all living entities, mam, me. Two, but, Veda, knows, na, not, kashchana, anyone. Translation. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. Purport. Here the question of personality and impersonality is clearly stated. If Krishna, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were Maya, material, as the impersonalists consider him to be, then, like the living entity, he would change his body and forget everything about his past life. Anyone with a material body cannot remember his past life, nor can he foretell his future life, nor can he predict the outcome of his present life. Therefore, he cannot know what is happening in past, present, and future. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, he cannot know past, present, and future. Unlike the ordinary human being, Lord Krishna clearly says that he completely knows what happened in the past, what is happening in the present, and what will happen in the future. In the fourth chapter, we have seen that Lord Krishna remembers instructing Vivaswan, the sun god, millions of years ago. Krishna knows every living entity because he is situated in every living entity's heart as the supersoul. But despite his presence in every living entity as the Supersoul and his presence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the less intelligent, even if able to realize the impersonal Brahman, cannot realize Sri Krishna as the Supreme Person. Certainly the transcendental body of Sri Krishna is not perishable. He is like the sun, and Maya is like a cloud. In the material world, we can see that there is sun and that there are clouds and different stars and planets. The clouds may cover all these in the sky temporarily, but this covering is only apparent to our limited vision. The sun, moon, and stars are not actually covered. Similarly, Maya cannot cover the Supreme Lord. By his internal potency, he is not manifest to the less intelligent class of men. As it is stated in the third verse of this chapter, out of millions and millions of men, some try to become perfect in this human form of life, and out of thousands and thousands of such perfected men, hardly one can understand what Lord Krishna is. Even if one is perfected by realization of impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma, he cannot possibly understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna without being in Krishna consciousness. Please turn to page 1 and let's sing the prayers listed here together. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malatam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kata Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Patakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Dham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, what did you hear? We read the purport and the translation. Anything that stuck in your mind? Give him the mic.
There are so many people who try to understand the Lord, and even though we might understand the localized aspect of Lord Krishna, but it's very difficult, and only very few will succeed in understanding the Lord.
Mm. So, Hare Krishna. So, there's Srila Prabhupada points out that some might understand impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma, but not be able to understand the Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this aspect of Bhagavan. And why is that? Why is it difficult to understand Bhagavan?
Because we are covered by the three modes of material nature and he's hidden behind that?
I think so, but can we prove that by hearing from the Bhagavad Gita? Narahari Dev can prove it?
Actually, the verse before that, Krishna says that he covers himself by his internal energy, which is why we cannot understand him. Just that verse before.
Okay,
previous verse.
Entered into evidence.
Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudayam nabijanati lokama majama vyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible.
So okay. So there's some proof. Is there more proof in the seventh chapter? Yes.
I can maybe give one more proof from the Isopanishad.
Okay.
Mantra 15, I think.
Yeah.
Hiranmayena patrena satyasyapi hitam mukam tatvam pushana pavrano satyadharmaya drishteya. That wherein the devotee is actually praying to the Lord, oh my Lord, please remove this covering so that you may become visible to me. So here also this indication that the Lord is actually, he doesn't reveal himself unless, you know, the person becomes a devotee and he requests the Lord. So
nice evidence. Good. Rakshit?
I did not have another proof for the same point as to that he is covered by his internal potency, but another reason for why Krishna cannot be known by ordinary persons. One reason is, of course, ordinary people cannot see because he's covered. But the other is, Krishna also says that I can only be known or understood if one renders devotional service to me. So if that is lacking, then one is not going to know Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anything else from the seventh chapter? Yes?
Well, going back to her original point about the yes. modes of material nature, yes. 7.13. Chubir gunamayar bhavar ebi sarvam midam jagat mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. And then the verse after that, to kind of tie them both together.
Go ahead.
Is how you can transcend it, is when Krishna reveals himself by surrendering unto him. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratiya mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantide. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it.
So the answer is that yes, because of covering the modes of material nature, one can't understand Krishna. Because of lack of devotional service, kind of like negative way to say that unless one performs devotional service is a part of his internal potency. And by engaging in devotional service, Krishna can reveal himself because he gives himself to his devotees, as is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jnane prayasam udapasya namante eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiyavartam stane stita shruti gatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jito pyasi tais trilokyam. And that is that if one gives up the speculative process for trying to understand Krishna, and what does the speculative process lead to? Understanding what aspect of God, ultimately. So impersonal Brahman is the highest that one can reach through just speculation, which generally there are different processes of speculation described in the Vedas like neti neti, which means not this, not that. By elimination of everything that's material, one might come to the conclusion that, well, it's the opposite of the material, which means material has variety, and therefore the spiritual has no variety. And that's what Brahman is. It's the varietyless emanation of the effulgence of the Lord. And so by speculation, one comes to that process. It's said by the yoga process, one can perceive the localized form of the Lord within the heart. And as Rakshit Prabhu pointed out, by bhakti, one can understand Krishna. Because, as said by Lord Brahma in the verse I just quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam, one should give up the speculative process, jnane prayasam udapasya namante eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiyavartam, and engage in the process of hearing, faithful hearing in the association of devotees. The sound vibration, for instance, of the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita is the incarnation of Krishna. It's fully Krishna himself. There's no difference at all between the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the vibration of the Bhagavad Gita. And if one hears that vibration faithfully, with an open heart, then that vibration itself is Krishna, and he'll enter within the heart. As we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the often quoted verses, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantaksto Hibhadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. Krishna, through that process of hearing, actually enters the heart, and he helps us to purify the heart of all the obstructions that block us from seeing him. He helps us because Krishna wants us to know him. It's not that he's hiding from us, but because our face is turned the wrong direction, we can't see him. So the process of hearing wakes up our devotion. Yes, Sunny.
In the fifth chapter, Krishna says that devotional service and analytical study, they're both equal. And if you apply well to one of those paths, you achieve the results of both. So how does that
Because when one engages in either of them correctly, then it all comes to the same conclusion, and that is devotional service. And that's what's meant by that, and is explained in the commentary, that if one engages properly, then one can come to the point of understanding. However, the direct route to take directly to devotional service is quicker. And in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, entitled Devotional Service, Krishna talks about the speculative method for reaching him, and he says it's difficult. Klesho dikartarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukam dehavadbiravapyate. But he says it's a difficult process to understand and conceive of the, you know, the absolute impersonal feature. He said, but after long practice, being equally disposed to everyone, and doing welfare activities for others, then gradually one can come to this position eventually. So Brahma is recommending take the direct method, which is stane stita shruti gatam tanavan manobir, especially in the age of Kali Yuga, when there are many different kinds of natural obstructions to devotional service anyway, or to the process of any process of spiritual life. The very powerful direct method of hearing is recommended, which means that even if you stay in your position, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, grihe tako bhani tako sadahari boludako. What does that mean? It means that it doesn't matter where you live. You can live in any ashram. You can live in a house as a grihastha, or you can live as a sannyasi, as a renunciate in the forest. Of course, we say, sometimes we say, grihe tako vani tako, it doesn't matter. But you can't forget the second part of the verse, sadahari bolitako. The second half of the verse says that keep chanting. You have to keep chanting constantly. It's like, grihe tako vani tako, it doesn't matter if you live in a house. Well, if you add the second part, then it doesn't matter. If you don't put that part in, then... Well, it doesn't matter either, because if you're not chanting, then you know you're not going to have success in either place. But the process of hearing is so highly recommended throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam and by the great acharyas that it's recommended as the direct process for coming quickly to understand the absolute truth. And the main point of quoting that verse was, stane stita shrutigatan tanavan manobir. You stay in your position and hear, then you can conquer the unconquerable, because Krishna is actually attracted, he's conquered by the love of his devotees. In fact, he tells Narada Muni that I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the yogis' hearts. But where am I? Wherever the devotees are chanting my glories with love and devotion, then I'm present there. Main idea of that is that he's attracted only to this, to loving devotion. Rakshit had a point? Did you have your hand up? Okay. What else did you hear from the verse purport? Yes. They hear you in the back when you do that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
But anyways. So when he says that, because I remember the previous, mm-hmm. that's why, I mean, he's kind of sort of proving, I guess, that he's the Supreme Lord or something, which distinguishes that, like, as a human being or anybody else will not remember what their prior births were or any of that memory, but he remembers everything, and which definitely sort of, you know, is kind of a proof or something that he puts to there.
Yeah, it's a really important point. It's a good point, thank you. That when we give up our body, we started, before we started the discussion, we went to the first page and we read this verse, Oma Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. So this verse says, Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana. It means that I'm born into darkness. Everyone's born into darkness. And as was pointed out in the purport, I don't know where I came from and I don't know how I got here. It just came out. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, Karmana Daivane Trena Jantur Deho Papateye Striya Pravishta Udaram Pumso Reta Kanashaya. The process of us coming out in a certain place is dependent on higher power, on Daiva Netrena, according to our activities, our karma, but we don't get to decide. So at the time of death, I can't just say that, I'd like to take birth as a king, please. I mean, you can say it. And sometimes as Prabhupada has recorded in his talks and lectures that he's heard people say, a rich man, for instance, say, I'll pay any amount of money, just give me 3 more years. Well, you can't do that either, because a doctor can't guarantee you 3 more seconds. If it's your time to leave the body, you have to leave. And when you leave, then your karma is accounted for, and you must abide, you'll be put into a certain circumstance according to your previous karma. So we don't know also when we're going to leave, and we also don't know where we're going exactly. But Krishna knows, and his body is transcendental. He never changes his body. It's eternal. And evidam sasaja gre bhagavanatmamaya sadasadrupayacha so gunamaya guno vibhu. Srimad Bhagavatam says, before the creation even, Krishna exists. Because the creation is coming over and over again. Bhutva bhutva priliyate. It's manifest and unmanifest. Even if you hang around long enough for trillions of years in the creation, then ultimately you get wound back up again into the body of Mahavishnu. The whole material world is temporary, and there's no future here. Maya means to take stock in something that's not permanent. So this is a sign of good spiritual intelligence, as Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, nasato vidite bhavo, nabhavo vidite sata, ubayorapi drishnontas tvanayos tatvadarshi bi, that the person who is seeing correctly distinguishes between what's permanent and what's not permanent, and doesn't take shelter in something that's not permanent. It doesn't make any sense. It's craziness, actually, to take shelter. So therefore, as we heard in Ishapanishad, anyad evahur sambhavad, anyad ahura sambhavat, iti shushruma dhiranam, yenas tadvijichakshishe. We should hear from higher authorities who are undisturbed by the changes of the material world, who are not being swept away by the senses and by the temporary nature of the world. Those people are called what? Dhira. Dhira. Dhira means undisturbed. And therefore, the verse says, one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and another result is obtained by worshipping what is not supreme. All this was heard from the undisturbed authorities who clearly explained it. It's clearly explained. We just have to hear it. And by hearing and then distinguishing, we can know this body is temporary. I don't know where I'm going. Therefore, I should take shelter of Krishna, because he's the supreme personality of Godhead, and he's the only shelter of the all living entities ultimately. And he does know. He knows our situation. Therefore, there's the very beautiful verse at the end of the Ishapanishad which says, Agni naya supatarayasman vishvani deva vayinani vidvad yuyod yasmash truharanameno buyishtam dhinamu uktim videma. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, omniscient one, please remember all my sacrifices. And because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. There's, that's not the verse. I mixed 2 verses. O my Lord, as powerful fire, omniscient one, I'm missing part of it. Anyway, it says, you know everything I've done in the past. Please, therefore, remember. How does that go?
Yeah, that's
okay, could you say it again?
Please remember all that I've done for you.
How's the whole verse go? Sorry. That's the previous verse. And the translation.
Oh my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. Oh my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins, so that there will be no hindrance to my progress.
Nice. Thank you very much. So Krishna knows exactly what our situation is. We don't know. So we need to take shelter of him. Otherwise, we're in a without Krishna's shelter, we're in a very dangerous condition. But he knows everything. Hare Krishna. Yes, comment.
So in 7, this verse that we are currently doing, that he says that I know everything that has happened in the past, know everything that's happening now, and know everything that will happen in the future. When I heard this, it reminded me of a similar statement that he has also made in the Bhagavad Gita in the 2nd chapter about his knowing, where he's telling Arjun, when Arjun is lamenting that his cousins and everybody will die on the battlefield, and he's caught up with grief and says, I'm confused, I don't know what to do. And Krishna says that you are lamenting over something that is not worthy of lamenting. He says, you, I, and all these kings have always lived, are living in the present, and will also live in the future. It's a similar type of a statement that he's making about his being knowable. He knows that you have lived, I have lived, the kings have lived. We are living now, we'll live, continue to live in the future, because you as a living entity are the soul that are going to pass from one body to another and not perish as the body perishes. It's a similar type of a
yes.
statement.
Thank you. Narahari?
Actually, I have a question. In the previous verse, Krishna says, 7:25, that he actually... for the foolish and unintelligent, he says, for them I am covered by my internal potency. But then, in a few verses previously, he says that he covers the living entity, he bewilders them by his external energy. But then here he says he covers himself by his internal energy. So is it the same, like Krishna covering himself by his internal energy is the same as the external living entity being bewildered by the three modes?
Well, Prabhupada explains it like this, that it's for Krishna it's one energy, because like electricity, there's electricity, but you can run it through an air conditioner and it comes out cold, and you can run it through a heater and it comes out hot. And it really depends on the application. So there's, in the internal energy, there's Hladini, Sandini, Sambit. Translated into the modes of material nature, you get Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. But still, for Krishna, it's his, you know, it's his energy, it's his potency. There is a correspondence, actually. Yeah.
So it's technically the same, or it's.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. And is there a correspondence too? For the three modes and the three internal energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to elaborate?
Well, just in a general way, as Krishna talks about in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So the energies that are working in the spiritual world and the varieties that are there are reflected here in the material world. Okay. And but they act differently. Because the consciousness is different. The collective consciousness of the material world is that of the ego of enjoying. And therefore, to facilitate that, the energy is different.
I also have another question, actually. Whenever I read this chapter, especially the translations, I never understand this. Even though I've read this so many times, but maybe you can help me. Krishna, in the beginning of this chapter, he says that, you know, I'm going to explain this knowledge both phenomenal and numinous. And knowing this, there is nothing else to be known. So in this chapter, which aspect of is phenomenal and which is numinous? Like, I'm not sure. Can you?
Well, do you know the definition of the words phenomenal and numinous?
Vaguely, yes.
Pardon?
Yes, I.
So, what are the definitions, and then let's see what matches up.
So, phenomenon, basically, the word means like anything that happens because of a cause. Like this is the phenomenon of.
Can you grab the dictionary, someone. Let's just make sure he's giving us the right definition. And won't you pull on a fast one on us? Okay, go ahead.
I'm under the radar. So phenomenal is the the phenomenal knowledge, or is the knowledge when we can say that is because is or phenomenon, you know, the word phenomenon is, you know, a particular activity, and phenomenal knowledge means the knowledge of a particular phenomena or, you know, particular activity. So in this case, you know, it's knowledge of the absolute. So the chapters. So that's one thing. And then numinous, you know, like numerical, you know. Here it says Krishna creates, the spirit, the material world, and then, you know, he's under the, he controls the three modes. And so in this case, numinous, I would assume the living entities and how they interact with the three modes. And this is my understanding. I don't know if
okay,
it's true.
I think you're answering your own question as you go. But
no, but I still am not sure which in this
okay,
chapter.
Let's hear the definition. Okay, you got phenomenal and numinous here. Okay, yeah, let's see. Phenomenal, we have pertaining to or constituting a phenomenon. Extraordinary, outstanding, remarkable. Let's see, phenomenon. Okay. Phenomenon comes from the Latin, which means to show. An occurrence or fact that is directly perceptible by the senses. Okay, that's phenomenal. Comes from the word to show, which means something you can directly perceive with your senses. You want to find numinous? And now let's hear what numinous. So what you can see with your senses, both phenomenal and numinous, which obviously is going to be something which is beyond the power of the senses. Something transcendental. Numinous, yes? Uh-huh. Should have asked you first. To use the microphone.
Thank you. Phenomenal was anything to do with the material world, as opposed to numinous, which was to the spiritual, which is like, you know, with your senses, we can only perceive the material world.
Okay.
And that's what Krishna is also explaining in the same in the
supernatural, spiritually elevated, supernatural. Okay, so now we know phenomenal means the material world, which is what we can perceive with our senses, and numinous, which means transcendental, or which is beyond. Okay? So now you're asking, you know, where is the phenomenal, where is the numinous in this chapter? And then you already answered the question as you were.
But then here Krishna says, you know, the chapter is titled Knowledge of the Absolute.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolute means everything. I mean, absolute means there's nothing lacking. Everything emanates. The absolute truth means that from whom everything emanates. Aham eva asam eva agre nanyat sat 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 param paschadaham yari tashchad yo vishishyeta sosmiham. This is the seed verse of the Bhagavatam, where Krishna talks about how everything is emanating from him. This is even before the creation, he exists. During the creation, after the creation, at all stages, still he's complete, but everything emanates from him, and whatever exists, janmadya sayataha, comes from him. And in this chapter, of course, he's describing bhumir apo nalo vayu, there are things we can see and touch, and beyond them, apare mitastonyam prakritim vidimi param. You know, there's the para prakriti. That's what's animating the body and making the material universe go, he says. And then he talks about other things which are transcendent. Tesham, Jnani, Nitya Yukta, Eka Bhakti or Vishishite brings in bhakti, and how bhakti is there, that that's transcendental also. So, thank you for bringing that in. It's important because it's sort of how we, you know, defines the chapter. Yes.
Said, you also said, after mentioning these two energies, the living entity and the material energy, he says that
I'm the origin of them and the dissolution. And so he's above it. So then it becomes everything about the absolute truth as to what he is. And he says, I'm the syllable Om, and I am the taste of water, and all that. So he starts describing himself.
Thank you. What other points? So you know everything. And, you know, this chapter, of course, begins with this important thing. Prabhupada quoted this verse more than any other verse. Did you know that? The first verse of this chapter. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan vayashe. Asamsrayam samagramam yatagasyasi tachchunu. That you can know me in full, free from doubt. How does this chapter say you can know me in full, free from doubt? What does the verse say? Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan marashraya asam srayam samagramam, without any doubt. Yata gyasasi tashrinu, which means just hear. So that goes back to our original or earlier thread about hearing. And by hearing about Krishna, it's a transcendental sound vibration. It's Krishna himself. It's there. And going into the chanting of Hare Krishna, then we know from our Saturday morning class, Nikila Shuti Mauli Ratnamala Duti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Aimukta Kalere Pasyamana Paritastam Harinama Samshrayami. The beautiful poetic description of how in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, all the Vedas are revealed. So you don't have to go study all the Vedas, but if you take to the chanting of Hare Krishna and touch Srinu, you hear this vibration very carefully, you'll find out that within that is everything, because Krishna is there. So what is it? Nikila Shruti, all the Shrutis, all the Vedas, personified. The Vedas are personified, like when Brahma came down to talk to Maharaj Priyavrata, to convince him that he had to give up his ascetic life and take to being a king and get married and help to rule and manage the temple. He brought with him the Vedas personified. They all came down with Brahma. If you can imagine meeting the personified Vedas. And you can in this verse, Nikila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala Duti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta. So Bhaktivinoda reveals that this vision of seeing the Vedas personified, you get up for Mangal Artik one day and you go in and you see that the Vedas are personified, are offering Mangal Artik. And who are they offering Mangal Artik to? The tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So specifically, Tarakar Brahma Nam. In the age of Kali Yuga, that particular mantra, it delivers one from all that is phenomenal and takes one to the numinous just by hearing it, just by chanting the Maha Mantra. And of course, the vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are other mantras too, which we've talked about, that come in our line of disciplic succession, that come through the Pantratrik system, that assist us in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because it's very difficult to even chant the Hare Krishna Mantra in this age. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatrarpita Niyamahita Smaranena Kala Itadrishi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaivam Idrisham Ihajani Naduragaha, which means that I'm unfortunate that even though the Holy Name has all power to deliver me from this material world, and even though Krishna has unlimited names, and even though there's no hard and fast rule for chanting the Holy Name, it's liberated, it's independent already, I'm not. I'm bound down, and therefore I'm Durdaivam. I'm unfortunate. I can't chant the Holy Name. So what to do? Well, that's revealed in the next verse. Trinada pisuni chena toror iva suhishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahri. One should adopt a humble state of mind And from that, go on chanting Hare Krishna in a humble state of mind, thinking that there's no help for me except by the grace of Krishna. Heart within, God above, march on. That Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he said, we should take this feeling that I'm helpless, and I just have to take the help from Krishna. And how has Krishna come to me in the form of this mantra? And the mantra brings us, for those who are sincere, into the association of devotees, into the process of devotional service, which includes many other things, and takes us personally by the hand back home, back to Godhead. So touch Srinu, there's a lot in there, but a life of hearing is what's needed, and it doesn't matter what situation you're in. If you dedicate yourself to this hearing, then it's very, very quickly will act. It acts very quickly. Touch Joshanad Ashu Apavargavart Mani. The process of liberation opens very quickly to one who hears. Touch Joshanad Ashu Apavargavart Mani. What else? Any other things? Kishore. We have a microphone floating.
So this verse you said on hearing, importance of hearing, Brahma's prayers to Krishna. Jnane praya samudapasya namantayava. Whatever position you are in, just try to hear and perform bhakti yoga. How does that compare with Krishna's final instruction, sarvadharman parityajya? Is it like on the same level or one is above the other?
Well, how do you surrender? You know, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tam sarva papi bhyo moksha ishami masuja. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. It implies the this idea that if I surrender to Krishna, then everything else will be perfect. I don't need anything else. We mentioned the verse earlier, Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Surida Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy, which means this feeling, knowledge actually, that I'm completely connected with Krishna, and that just by hearing, just by engaging in bhakti, then everything else is completed. I don't need to do anything else. This is faith. This is what faith means. Firm faith means that Krishna Bhakti Koila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy, no other karmas, everything else is completed by that. So that's what the surrender process is. And Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, give up all these other things, just do this. What is that? Surrender to me. And what does surrender mean? It means accepting things that are favorable, rejecting things which are unfavorable, taking Krishna as a protector, the maintainer, being meek and humble, never feeling independent. These six things are the items of surrender, and they're all included in the direct process of bhakti. But that process, that sharanagati, is really it's the stage on which devotional service takes place. So, according to your question, they're the same. I mean, that's what it means. To surrender means to take to devotional service, to engage in Krishna service, and to give up other things that are superfluous. As long as I think that other things will help me, then I'm not completely faithful. That I need something else. But it's, you know, Krishna's, those words are so encouraging, because he's saying, just surrender unto me. And then he says, Masuchaha, don't worry. If you surrender, don't worry. Because, and don't hesitate. Because I'll carry what you lack, I'll preserve what you have. But it's not so easy to do immediately. So the faith means over time, it's a relationship, and there's there's a reciprocation, and you can see in your life as you go through and you surrender to Krishna incrementally how Krishna is there. And sometimes, obviously, things happen where we think, you know, Krishna's trying to kill me or whatever. He's taking away this, taking away that. And, you know, Prabhupada even talked about that in his own life, how when he first heard from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who told him to preach in the English language, said, you know, help spread this movement. In the meantime, you know, he had stages of life that he was going through as a young man, going through college, getting married, having a family. Then he described how Krishna took away everything. And he had taken sannyas. He was walking down one day in an alleyway, and he got jabbed by a cow or a bull who was walking down. Never come too close to. They swing their head like that, and he got hit. And he was lying on the pathway, and he was thinking, "What is this?" And he had given up his family and everything like that. And then he recounted later to all his students who were sitting there that, and now look. You know, I gave up a few family members, but now I have so many children who are taking care of me way better than my regular family would have taken care of me. And so illustrating through his own life, he was showing how you may go through stages in which sometimes it's not even clear how Krishna is arranging for you to, you know, be in a certain circumstance. Pure devotional service. Ashli shiva pataratam binashrumam adarshana marma hatam karotuva yatatatava vidatatu lampato prananatastas eva napara. This last verse in the Shikshashtakam, the spirit of which is that whatever Krishna does to me, whatever situation I find myself in my relationship with Krishna, I go on worshiping him. And anyway, they're the same. So chapter 7, and we read from Nectar Devotion. That was the bonus rounds because some devotees came early, so we heard a little bit from the Nectar Devotion. And then we heard from the Sri Upanishad, and then we heard from, and in that we discussed the verse Asuryanamate Loka Andina Tamasavrita Tamste Pratyabhikshanti Yekecha Mahano Janaha, which is a description of how they're, if one doesn't utilize the precious human form of life properly, then one is called Atmaha, or the killer of one's own self, and how rare it is. The opportunity is to get the human form of life, and especially enlivening in that purport was the fact that even those who take the devotional service just a little bit and then fall back down again get a really exalted position in their next life. What to speak of somebody who full on gives up everything and takes the devotional service and attains success? What do they achieve? Prabhupada was asking that question. It's very enlivening. And Prabhupada used to say, consider this, that you've already used so many lifetimes to try to find sense gratification. And as Prahlad Maharaj brings out in his prayers, if you actually researched it, you'll find out that every living entity everywhere in the material consciousness and the material world is trying to get some material benefit and avoid distress as much as possible and at every second. And every single one of them has failed and never actually attained the happiness that they were looking for in the material world, and they haven't been able to avoid distress. I mean, that's really bad odds. Huh?
Continue to that, what you said right now.
Use the mic.
I was reading that same verses in Perfection of Yoga, that book today. Mm. And after that sentences, that saying, as far as I concern, quote unquote, I, that I'm not going anywhere, that I'm not, no birth or no death. Would you mind to explain that too?
That you as a living entity have no birth or death?
Well, after the material part is, you know, everybody's kind of processing their you know, things, material things, trying to you know, engage with material things, and that maybe stay for today or tomorrow or 100 years. After that, it is gone. You are gone as a body, but the real I is the book explaining that it is not going anywhere. I, as I, there is no birth or no death or no. And so, how do we explain that?
Oh, Satyadev Prabhu will explain it.
I think in the 13th chapter, Krishna explains that the, well, there's a lot of different places where Krishna explains that the living entity is not the door. Right? That actually only the modes of material nature are doing anything. Of course, Krishna is the ultimate controller. So the living entity is eternal, and Sat Chit Ananda is the quality of the jiva, right? Eternal. Full of knowledge, full of bliss. That's the nature of the jiva. So it's an interesting question. What is actually taking birth? What is actually dying? And actually the living entity has nowhere to go because it's always. Right? And Krishna says that the living entities are present everywhere. And actually Krishna expands himself as a living entity. So in one sense, Krishna and the living entity are the same, simultaneously one and different. So the jiva actually doesn't take birth and doesn't die. But the mind dies and the body dies. And the it's the identification, the false ego that's transmigrating, you could say. The living entity is never separate from Krishna, but that sense of being separate is the source of, which is the false ego, is the cause of the suffering, is the cause of the fear, is the cause of the pain. And so the living entity is always transcendental. Krishna compares the living entity in the 13th chapter, he compares the living entity to the sky and to the material energy, the modes of nature, to clouds. They never mix, but they appear to mix. So there's an appearance of birth, there's an appearance of death, but that's an illusion, actually. And so when that sense of separateness is removed, when one engages into devotional service, then birth and death end, and the suffering ends. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Arigato. Okay. Any last points? Okay, so we read chapter 7, and we found out about phenomenal and numinous knowledge and their definitions.